Welcome back to the Hollywood Casino Press Box featuring Frank Cusimano and Martin Kilcoin on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
Got to give you this quick NFL story, and it's locally based here. Steven Jackson, wonderful career with the St. Louis Rams, 10,000 yards on the ground. So on Thursday, he said he received an order for a random drug screening from the league. He has no plans to comply. Jackson recently signed a one-day contract to retire with the Rams, like many people do, and that apparently was enough to trigger a drug test.
Can they fine him? Because I'd imagine if a current player, like if Todd Gurley refuses to take a drug test, I'm sure there's some punishment involved. Can Steven Jackson be subject to some hit?
I don't know. That's a great question.
It was funny, Martin. I saw you retweet it. There's this Twitter account called NFL Throwback. It'll post just old highlights of NFL games, and they put together a collage, like 90 seconds, of Steven Jackson highlights when he was with the Rams. And in every highlight, you see the score, and they're down 28-14. They're down 10-0.
It's saluting Jackson. It says he ran like a beast. And these are all great runs, signature runs, plowing over people. But you can't avoid the little box score in the corner, and it's like Seattle 21. St. Louis 6. It'll be Detroit 14, Rams 3. Every highlight, they're losing.
Dear NFL, from Steven Jackson, can you tell Mr. Lombardo that I signed a one-day contract? I will not be reporting today for my random drug test screening. Thanks in advance. Hashtag retirement life.
But if he's not officially retired and they schedule the drug test for that day, doesn't he have to go ahead and take the drug test?
Good point. I don't know.
It's another reason to hate the NFL.
Yeah.
Although it's still weird. Steven Jackson, with all the L.A. folks celebrating his great career, didn't have one snap out there. I mean, we had to endure it here. We had,
Youngblood.
Tom Mack is here. We're like, oh, great. Yeah. Rick Smith, hey, you want to put Tom Mack on the show? And I said, what did he do? Like, it was so, so weird.
Yeah.
And I'm sure the L.A. fans were watching as great things happened in St. Louis and said, that's our team.
Yeah, and the Arizona fans honoring our football Cardinals. Yeah.
Well, didn't you think it was weird? Didn't they have the Ring of Honor or something with all
we
the
put
former
Jack Youngblood
Los
in there.
Angeles Rams?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
Mac,
what was that?
That was stupid.
The whole Ram experience really was kind of stupid, wasn't it? With the exception of the two Super Bowls.
Yeah. Well, I guess you could say about three or four good years, but you're right. Of the 20, it was pretty bad.
It's almost like the Wikipedia page when it'll say who was married, you know, the spouse, and then there's some like partnered with, and it'll have like a 20-year period where they weren't married, like a Jack Nicholson wasn't married but partnered with Angelica Houston. I feel like the Rams were like that. They were we just sort of dated them long. We never really were married, but we had a couple of kids, okay, the Super Bowls, and that was it, and now it's over.
All right, let's
this bad analogy gets worse.
Five for Frank and Dan.
Time to tee up the hot topics. It's Five for Frank. Brought to you by Greenville University, a liberal arts institution just 45 miles from St. Louis.
We got to keep the kids in the breakup, Martin.
Hey, at least I didn't go 9/11. We had, in terms of who's our guy, Gary Condit, we had a really bad analogy. All right. Question one, topic number one, you guys can both answer it. The Cardinals would be 5 wins better if this had happened. Can you nail it down to like one thing? Like they would have actually have had even better record
if Matt Carpenter was just average and not horrible. Just average. You know, if he's sitting there with 260 average and 12 home runs and a 340 on base.
And it's probably the right answer because he's also your leadoff guy. They kind of married him to that spot. But
Dan,
I don't
go ahead.
Well, I agree with that, but to me, as I said earlier, the pitching's the disappointing performance of their pitching has been a bigger deal. So I would say if Jack Flaherty pitched anything like he did yesterday, they would definitely be 5 wins better.
I mean, he did go. It's not all on him, but it is true. He went 2.5 months without a win, which is a stat that no longer has the same weight, but that's still... For whatever reason, some of it's bad luck, especially recently, but 2.5 months, a guy who's a potential ace, that is hard to rectify.
Yeah, let's say that it's reasonable to think that in 2.5 months he should have won 5 games.
All right, what was the percentage when he was here as a player that you would have given me that Rick Ankiel would be a really good analyst, he'd be good on TV, and he's a media guy, and you enjoy his work. But when he was a player, if I had told you that, would it have been zero?
I would have given you, given you the same odds that I gave Brad Thompson, who's equally as brilliant on the air. I'd say about 10%.
With Brad Thompson, I would have maybe said, yeah, he could do it. I don't know if he'll get the opportunity because he didn't have as big a name. I would have said zero on Ankiel just because I think he had such disdain for the media, yeah. And I didn't know that he could talk. I'm shocked at what he's become in terms of an announcer. He's really good.
Yeah, well, I knew Frank as a kid, and I would have put it at the same percentage.
You were covering Pillars, grade school?
Now, Brad's response, though, is, well, the only reason you ever talked to me when I was playing here was when I gave up a three-run bomb in the seventh, so you really didn't get a fair sampling of my
That's
work.
That's true. So. All right, you guys are Michael Wacha. Are you pissed? Have you read and heard? Everybody thinks this is the worst thing, that the team's basically in jeopardy because, well, you're now a fifth starter.
If I'm Michael Wacha, I'm embarrassed. I'm not pissed. I mean, he's been awful. And I really don't understand it. He had the excuse of the injury problems before. But you watch him pitch now, and they show the radar gun, and he's throwing 95, 96 miles an hour, and... he doesn't appear to have any injury problems this year. And he's just been pretty awful.
Yeah. I just wonder if he's motivated. I mean, all these guys make tons of money. They're living in the big leagues. But I just wonder if you hear everybody saying, God, you needed pitching. I felt like Miles Michaelis the other night. I was in the post game. And I said, everybody thought you'd make a move. He said, we're fine. We got enough. And I followed up and said, the belief was you really needed starting pitching. Do you guys take that as a challenge moving forward? And he said, we got plenty of guys. I know it's bravado. They all say it. But they certainly were aware of it. And I just wonder, Wacha specifically, the team almost admitted it was a consolation prize. Like, we got nothing left. Roll the dice. Here you go.
And Waka's situation is a little bit unique in the fact that not only does he have a chance to pitch the Cardinals into the postseason, but he's got 10 starts to get a contract next year. I mean, if he's as bad in these 10 starts as he has been this year, where he's had 14 starts and only four times has he gone six innings, then, boy, you're looking at it like a major league minimum, you know, in terms of a contract. I mean, he's got to put a resume together here.
I didn't understand why they brought him back.
Wait, what did
he do the previous two or three seasons?
But last year, before he got hurt, he was really good. Now, granted, that's
a
big thing.
The key is before he got hurt. He gets hurt all the time.
Absolutely,
so,
yeah.
It didn't make any sense to me that they brought him back. But I have to say, when you watch him pitch and you look at the gun, and it's hard to understand when you remember his rookie year when they first brought him up and he was flirting with no hitters and was an absolute sensation. It's just hard to understand.
Yeah, as good as he was in 2013, to fast forward and now you're like, oh, this guy's on the mound? All right, number four, you guys are LeBron James. You're hearing all the buzz. The guy in New Orleans who was your GM in Cleveland, David Griffin, is talking about how miserable it was, how unpleasant it was working with LeBron, having to deal with LeBron, basically the inner workings of the Cavaliers. But you're LeBron James. Do you feel the need to respond, or do you just let it go?
Frank, you want that? Or you're the basketball guy.
Yeah.
Because the problem is, we always want to lash out, but with him and his brand, I think maybe you just let it die.
I wouldn't want to.
If you're going to get into a feud, make it a bigger name than David Griffin.
I would. I mean, I wouldn't even respond to that.
Problem is, LeBron just takes all these shots. Everybody's firing at him. Oh, nobody wants to play with him. And then all of a sudden, Anthony Davis wants to play with him, and he can't win anymore. His numbers last year, by the way, I think were 27-7-7. They were really good. I don't know. I'd maybe send out a tweet saying, look, I put the winning percentage when I was in Cleveland and the winning percentage when I'm not in Cleveland.
Well, how did he do in the layup line the other day?
He was good.
What did he make, 3 out of 7?
All right, guys, crystal ball. It's Friday, September 27th, whatever that Friday would be. Last Friday of September. Cardinals-Cubs at Busch. 3 to go in the season. Give me the standings. We're going to clip and save this, Hoff. We're going to clip and save this. The standings. Cards, Cubs. Maybe throw the Brewers in there, too. 3 to go. Hosting at Busch.
I say the Cardinals are up 2 games heading into that final week.
Ooh. 62 cards.
I say the Cubs are 3 games ahead.
Ooh. So they still got a chance
right.
going
they
into
still
Friday.
Got a chance, but they got to sweep the series.
And then they could win Friday, and they're still alive, and then they lose Saturday. Then they made it down to the final, almost the last game of the year.
Yeah. That's my take.
I don't have a good vibe about those Cubs.
Especially on the road. I'm going to say down 1, which adds to the element. Maybe the Brewers are...
Wow, somebody tell Mr. DeWitt about this.
Hey, right there.
This could affect the green seats for Martin.
Who's down 1?
I'm saying the Cardinals are 1 back going into the final weekend against the Cubs at home.
No, I think the Cubs are up 3. They're throwing Ferguson Jenkins and Myron Holtzman.
All right, right. So none of us have the Brewers.
Ken Holtzman.
Myron Holtzman.
Both of them.
He's Ken a fine Holtzman sports writer, too.
Right, and Myron Holtzman.
Do you have a luncheon with Greg Marisek after this? That's what's it's on your brain. Does anybody have the Brewers in that final weekend in this scenario? Either in first or tied with the Cards? Or I kind of see them a little behind.
I think they're right there, though.
Maybe a game back of the Cards?
Here's a better question. Are any of those teams over 500 when that weekend arrives?
Yeah. Cards are at 8 over now. I've been playing this game with these guys. To get to 90, and we put 90, that's probably too high a bar for this division this year. But to get there, you'd have to go 32-22 the rest of the way. That seems optimistic for a team that's 8 over, but it's not undoable.
That's doable.
You know, 4 or 5 over a month.
You know, it's interesting. That's kind of... It's interesting the dynamics of this. People are so kind of down, it seems like. Or at least, I shouldn't say that because all I ever hear is you guys are people in the media or whatever. But
pundits.
You would think the Cardinals were like 12 games out and 10 games under 500. You could probably look back at many of their seasons and see that they were 7 or 8 games over 500 at this point and then... sometimes wound up having a terrific end. So there's no the more important question to me is there any reasonable chance that they're going to beat anybody in the postseason?
You don't think they can beat Atlanta?
Yes, anything can happen, but
I mean, they could beat anybody but L.A.
Yeah, and who's going to beat L.A.? And then who's going to, they couldn't beat the American League representative.
I think it's kind of interesting how you can look at the Cardinals starting staff for like 30 seconds and feel one way and then like look at the other way. You may be right. But I mean, think about this for 1 second. Is you have your most talented pitcher now in an absolute groove. I mean, Jack Flaherty had a really good July despite no victories, if you look at the numbers. You have Dakota Hudson, who's been your steadiest pitcher all season long. Miles Michaelis has been really good lately. And if Adam Wainwright pitches at home, he's a fine pitcher. But then you also say, wait a minute, Wainwright can't win on the road. Michaelis has been terrible on the road, too. Hudson's never been through it. And you have no confidence at all in Walker.
That's the reality.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a more realistic picture to me.
The second part, huh?
Yeah. I mean, if they're going to play all their games from here on out at home, then, you're in good shape.
Well, what's interesting is, because of these off days, you don't have to use Waka. You don't need a fifth starter right now. They're in this stretch with some days off, but they're choosing to use him anyway. Wainwright Sunday, Waka Monday on the road.
The other thing, frankly, the Cardinals are just an odd team. I mean, we're talking about their pitching, but they're just an odd team. They have an odd mix of players. Their outfield's a little goofy. They don't have guys who get on base a lot. They have a couple of guys that are extremely streaky. I just think they're they're an inconsistent team. So they're what, 7 or 8 games over 500? That's kind of the kind of team they are. They're right around a 500 team to me. So can they, what Martin said, if they could finish... play 10 games over 500 for their next 54 games or something, they'll get to 90 wins. I'd be surprised if they did that, but I kind of saw them as an 85-86 kind of win team.
Now the math to get to 88 wins, which is a respectable number, it's not lights out, like they won 100 games 4 years ago. To get to 88, which might be enough for the division, that's only 30-24. That's doable.
Absolutely.
And that might win the division this year. All right, 5 for Frank brought to you, 5 for Frank and Dan, brought to you by Greenville. UniversityGreenville.edu.
All right, Frank, if the Cards play the Braves in the postseason, I'd bet as many milkshakes as you want the Braves will win. The Braves' biggest weakness is their bullpen, and unlike the Cardinals, they get better at the deadline. The Braves are a better team than the Cardinals. Look, I'm not saying the Cardinals, they're not as good as the Braves right now. The Braves are 20 games over 500, but it's a short series, and if you got your starting pitching, they're capable. I don't know if they're capable of beating the Dodgers. So,
if you want to do that game where you go down the lineup and
good.
At Atlanta, you're talking, you're picking four or five, potentially six Braves players. I guess Goldschmidt there, I guess that's, but you got Albies, you got Acuna, you got,
the
rookie
game.
Pitcher.
We call it the recess game. Yeah. Where you start picking players. I'll take him, all from the same team.
But don't you want to see it? Isn't that,
for sure.
Are they going to win the National League? No. Are they going to win the World Series? Probably not. There's certainly probably, if they made the postseason, they'd probably be ranked fifth among the National League playoff teams. But you want to see it still, don't you? Isn't that better
for
than
sure.
what the previous 3 years have been?
For sure. Even the one-game wild card. Hell yeah. Take it and see what happens.
I want more than one game.
Well, you would take it for the theater. And
let's ask Dan the question right now. If we offer you a one-game wild card, would you take it?
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
Because you're in.
But here's my problem.
But are you satisfied as a fan if they're in one game, they lose?
No.
And then they made October. They made it to October.
That's
the difference.
For me,
it's not going to satisfy
I don't
people.
Define it that way. I mean, here's the thing. You're talking about everybody wants to get October. Everybody wants to play in the postseason. That's the best part. That's the most exciting part. But they play 162 times during the regular season. So it's to me, it's kind of important for the regular season to be sort of exciting.
Correct.
And this regular season hasn't been very exciting. And, you would rather have them make the postseason than not make it, of course.
You know.
But it doesn't – I just don't feel like they have a team that's going to go far in the postseason.
One of the most used expressions in St. Louis for a stretch was the famous quote, "You got the wrong Ray Langford." Well, the Cardinals in this matchup with the Braves is we got the wrong third baseman. I mean, just imagine, remember there was talk about the Josh Donaldson thing? I mean, Josh Donaldson is sitting there in Atlanta with 25 home runs and like a 900 OPS, and we have Matt Carpenter who's in Memphis.
Well, they got Goldschmidt.
Yeah, that worked out.
But there is
they did
list.
Make a move.
There's
did,
a long list of did. Guys that they were in on, though, that they don't pull the trigger.
Well, here's the thing. The perplexing thing is the extension to Carpenter. I mean, if you go back to last season and look at Carpenter's season, I did this one a while back, but from August 1st, not August 31st or what, August,
2 months.
Yeah, August 1st to the end of the season, he hit about 190. And then he has followed that up with the season he's had. So almost, he's at a point now where he's gone about 110 games of batting at about 200. And if you took away the three, I think he'd May, June, July. He was terrific last year, went on a home run binge. But other than that, if you take those 3 months out, he just hasn't been a very productive player. And yet, that whole time, they insist on batting him leadoff because, well, that's where he hits. That's where he's really good is if he bats leadoff. I mean, it just doesn't make any sense.
Well, those last 2 months were your last sample sizes before you extended him and say,
right.
Well, how did he finish last year? This is a guy that's going into the last year of a deal for a lot of money. We'll see how it goes. I mean, anybody would fall into the camp of we'll see how it goes, unless the agent got to Mr. DeWitt and said we really want him to be a legacy guy. Unless there were some emotional strings pulled, it made zero sense.
And he's a okay third baseman. And to me, during the offseason, really the thing they didn't address, I know that statistically they're a better defensive team this year, but come on. I mean, depending on who you're playing in the outfield, you kind of got a clown show going on out there. You had Carpenter at third base, and he was playing third base because they had to move him out of his best position, which was first base. Because
they found an upgrade.
Yeah, because
they were moving you.
They had moved
better.
Him from third base to first base because he wasn't a very good third baseman. Now they're moving him back to third base. Colton Wong is a good defensive player, but, you know, he'll hit 320 for a few weeks, and then he hits 190 for a few weeks.
Well.
And you know, their shortstop's a pretty solid player. He's not a lights-out defensive player. He's just a pretty solid average shortstop, I would say.
He's above average. Don't the metrics support that defensively?
He is, yeah.
Yeah.
What are the metrics? What?
Well, like the wins above replacement, runs saved.
Coverage?
Well, that's all factored into that.
Okay.
I will say this on Colton Wong. I think it's time for the Cardinals, and I know maybe you don't want to put too much pressure on him, but he's got a 351 on base. He's reached base in 20 consecutive games. Tommy Edman, God bless him, is like a 290 on base. Doesn't it make sense to have the guy who gets on base 35% of the time to be your leadoff hitter now?
And steals.
Yeah,
and
absolutely. Good base steal, yeah.
No, I think Edman is flattened, 15 of them. Is flattened out. I think at this point, you're looking around the room, okay, who makes the most sense? At this point, Wong makes more sense. And it is crazy. We'll see these things, and then a few days later, all of a sudden they go, yeah, we're going to put Wong. These guys get paid to do it, and you're watching at home. It drives you crazy. Like, why don't they see this? Hey, one of our great sponsors, Offenburg Hyundai, located in O'Fallon, Illinois. Find them online, OffenbergHyundai.com. Stop by, see my buddy Matt. Talk to anybody on the team there. And if it's a pre-owned vehicle you're looking for, great selection on the lot. In fact, if you know the car you're looking for, year, make, model, let them know, and they will find it for you. O'Fallon, Illinois, the home of the original Hyundai dealer in this area. Brian, I don't know if we have time for the end of the day. We squeeze it in. Let's squeeze it in.
I actually don't have the intro for it real quick, but you mentioned that you wanted the stats on Molina and
Wieters. Played at-bats.
Similar home run totals, but Molina has done that in almost 3,000 more at-bats. 6,812 at-bats to Wieters, 3,921.
About that. Very similar career home run totals.
I like it.
3,000 more at-bats. And Wieters this year, what, it's 100 and... Anyway, he's basically every 13 at-bats homering this year.
Well, how do you play that, by the way, Dan, real quickly, when Yadi's coming back? Does Yadi get all seven games in a week? Does Wieters
I think they'll go back to Yadi as their full-time catcher, yeah.
Yes.
I can't see them not doing it.
Carpenter gets one more hit, he'll be back up with the club.
Yadi's making, what, $20 million a year or something like that?
I'm not so certain you're worried about that at this point. Look, Yadi's still a good player, but, boy, I don't know if you just put Wieters on the bench for seven straight games a week.
Well, you may be right. Maybe they'll decide, we'll play him at least one more day a week than we did before, but I don't think that all of a sudden they're going to be platooning.
No, yeah. And I think what it is you just don't bury Wieters. You want to see a little more of him than you saw the beginning of the year. He was on the team.
They may as well stick him in the outfield. They're sticking all kinds of people out there.
Frank, you mentioned Wong's on base on the season. Since June 1st, it is .384. We've been over before. Paul Goldschmidt's numbers are significantly better with men on base, which would lead to more credence that you should put someone who gets on base at the leadoff spot as opposed to either Tommy Edman or, in the future, Matt Carpenter. Finally, good news for the Cardinals. If you win this weekend, you're gaining ground, or at least distancing yourself from somebody, because the Cubs and the Brewers start a three-game set this afternoon at Wrigley Field, which right now is the only place the Cubs are winning. The Cardinals, 27-27 on the road, that's the best mark in the National League Central. That's how mediocre the whole division is. So who do you got? Two games in Oakland. How do they do? Don't say split. Come on, don't hedge.
They're going to split. Yeah,
split. We're all agreeing they're split. Dan, you wrote a great
book. That's the end of the day.
Cardinal fans will love it. The best pictures I've ever seen in a book, and the stories are awesome. How does somebody get a copy of this book?
Well, they can come to my event Monday night, Frank, at the Maine South County Library at 1640 South Lindbergh there to Schneidhorst. Starts at 7 o'clock. I do an audio-video presentation about the 80s and the Cardinals, and I'll be there, have books to sign and sell, and they'll enjoy it. You know, I've done a lot of these, and people really enjoy it.
And awesome. That's a great venue. I've done events there, too.
Yeah.
Really do a nice job.
Yeah. Dan O'Neill here.
Did you do
studio.
Your autobiography book signing there?
I have not. No.
Today is the 14-year anniversary of the Chris Pronger trade.
Oh,
wow. 2005, which, really? Personal cool. note, is probably the reason why I got my driver's license, because while taking the test, my instructor heard about the trade and was furious. And I don't think paid attention to what I was doing.
You know, in Edmonton, they refer to that as the Eric Brewer trade.
Couple of business items. Bomberito sponsors the show content. Go to bomberito.com, search their great inventory of cars, 20 new car locations, 9 pre-owned car locations. Bomberito, nobody sells more cars in the state of Missouri. And Hollywood Casino, our title sponsor. Head on out there this weekend. 99 Hops House, the all-you-can-eat buffet. Final Cut Steakhouse. They just do it all. Hollywood Casino, a great place to do some people watching. We appreciate them being our title sponsor. That'll do it for this edition of the program. The Cam Jansen Extravaganza next.